Hello, everyone. I am, for those of you I haven't met yet, I am Bobby Rodriguez. I'm the men's director, so just the guys. The girls, I don't mess around with. Just the guys I'm directing here at Gather. And I have, honestly, the honor and the pleasure of sort of finishing up our time in the disciplines, in delighting in the disciplines. And tonight, I get to talk about Bible intake. I'm sitting down on purpose. Last time, Bron's big critique of me was, bro, you paced like you were trying to put fire out up there or something. And so I'm going to sit here. I might get up a little bit, but we'll figure that out. So if we are talking about the spiritual discipline of Bible intake, which isn't just reading your Bible, you might be thinking, what are you doing? Like, that's the most basic of the spiritual disciplines. If you're going to open Bible and read it or intake your Bible, why wouldn't you put that first? And if you thought that, you would be absolutely correct. But we did it on purpose. There was a reason why we put Bible intake at the end. And if you remember, if you were here, the first week that we started, Bron talked about some of the pitfalls, that when you begin to focus on the spiritual disciplines, prayer, rest, and a whole number of others that we're not going to go over, there are some pitfalls. And a pitfall might be becoming a check-the-box kind of person or getting into a check-the-box mode. And really what that would mean is that you start to say, hey, I'm going to check this box for any number of reasons. Something like, I want to impress the people around me, and I want them to think that I'm an excellent Christian, so I will check the box of the spiritual disciplines. Or even more sinister, you think, I am a good Christian because I check the box, right? And I'm constantly diving into the spiritual disciplines. Something else it might be is that you're just like tired because you believe that being a Christian means that you're constantly supposed to check the box of the spiritual disciplines. I'm supposed to read my Bible and pray and serve others. And man, I'm exhausted. And I got to tell you, I don't think that's what God means by his or not what his desire is for our hearts when it comes to engaging with the spiritual disciplines. I'm going to start tonight with 1 Timothy 4:7. And it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Bron started out our time way back when, a month ago, about discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. What does it mean about godliness? It just means being more like Jesus. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. We want you to be convinced that the spiritual disciplines are good because they help you be more like Jesus. And tonight, as I'm going through this spiritual discipline of Bible intake, which isn't just reading your Bible, it's a bunch of other things, and we'll talk about that, I want you to fall in love with that spiritual discipline because it is making you more like Christ. That you wouldn't pass up an opportunity to dive into your Bible in some way or another. So it kind of reminds me of this. This is my first little grab you here. It reminds me, does anybody like Buc-ee's? Who is a Buc-ee's person here? Like you're driving down the road and you see the giant beaver and you're like, I'm going, right? I'm going to be at Buc-ee's. Side note, we went on vacation. My family went on vacation this summer. We went on vacation to Florida, right on the beach. It was so nice. And the first day of the vacation, my son gets sick. Turns out that my son got coronavirus. And then everybody in our house got coronavirus, so all of us were sick, and my wife hates Buc-ee's, and we stopped and spent like $100 there, and she was like, I knew it. That Buc-ee's is dirty. That guy, we got COVID there. We shouldn't be going to that place anymore. And I'm like, woman, watch your mouth. I didn't do that. I didn't know. That would be, there's no way I would ever say that. But no chance. So what I do believe though is that I will never pass a Buc-ee's. But I wasn't always like that. Who had the I like Buc-ee's in here? Like raise your hand high. Like there was a time before you really knew what Buc-ee's was, right? Like in the past it was just a bunch of gas stations and convenience stores, and like who wants to fall in love with that? But then you hear like rumors of this place, this beautiful like land where there are like 100 gas pumps and every kind of thing you could want. Like this, the food in there is just so good. And you're like, okay, I see that. And you're driving, and at 50 miles, you see the beaver. And then like at 40 and 30 and 20 and 10 and then like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you get off at the exit, and it's just the one sign, like no words, just a giant beaver beckoning you into the place, right? You're so excited about it. You go through the front door, and those first doors open. Tell me you haven't done this. And you walk in, and you go, oh, my goodness. I never knew that I needed an armadillo-shaped fire pit, but I gotta have this thing. It's amazing. Like, who would? How can I live life without this? And then the real like doors to Bucky's open, and you're just like, you're hit with the waft of that chopped brisket sandwich that's in there, and you're just like, I am drawn to that thing, and you start walking over there, and then you see kind of the glint of a mug, and you're like, ooh, I like Yeti mugs, and how are they doing Yeti mugs for $4? You're like, oh, it's Arctic. That's how they did that. It's not really Yeti, but you bought five of them because they were only $4, right? And then you turn around, and that's the magic moment happens. You're just like, whoosh, and it's like the orchestra goes off, and the angels are singing, and you see the giant wall of Bucky's branded things, everything from nuts to wasabi peas to gummy bears. And you're just like, this is the best place ever. I'm always coming. There'll never be a time where I'm anywhere near a Bucky's and I don't stop and get a gigantic beaver and a t-shirt and jerky and all the things. So I've become a believer. I've become the person who says, we're always gonna stop. Here's what I want tonight. I want you to be convinced, like much like there's really good stuff inside of a Bucky's, that there's really good stuff inside of here. That you wouldn't pass an opportunity to stop and spend some time digging for that good stuff that is in here. I promise you, it will bless you. Okay, before we dive into a bunch of different ways that you can practice the spiritual discipline of Bible intake, I want to lay a little bit of a foundation. I want to look at answering the question, what is the Bible? It's really important because if we're going to study it, we've got to know what it is. And so some of you may or may not know this. I spent 12 years teaching fourth and fifth graders before I came to you. Maturity level, right about the same, if I'm honest. I'm kidding. Bro, I cannot say that in front of them. I'm kidding, guys. Y'all are much more mature, I promise. So here's what it is. Look. We teach the kids this. We teach them Bible basics, like who is God and what is the Bible and what is sin and salvation. And this is our answer for the question, what is the Bible? And so the Bible is the written word of God that is absolutely true now, then, and forever, and is filled with everything God wants us to know. I only taught you half the hand motions there, but that's kind of how I memorize it, right? So it's filled with everything God wants us to know. So I'm going to just break that down. I want to take a look at each piece of it. And I want to start with the Bible is the written word of God. So let's start with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We're going to be in it a bunch tonight, so keep your Bible like open to it or just look at it right here on the screen. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed, is what the scriptures are saying. We know for sure, I'm kidding. We know, right, that the scriptures weren't written, that God didn't sit down at his giant mahogany desk and pull out a quill and like write out the 66 books of the Bible and then like bind them and hand them to an archangel and said, hey, go send those down to my people. That's not the way that we got the Bible, right? The way that we got the Bible was pretty miraculous. God used 40 men. He inspired 40 men by the power of the Holy Spirit to write the Bible on 6 continents over 1,500 years. Like, how awesome is that? But he did that to do this. This is more hand motions for you here. He's telling one big, true story, the story of God's redemption, plan of redemption for us through Jesus Christ. So it's this miraculous thing that he did. The scriptures tell us that the Bible is the written word of God, that God did that by breathing that into 40 men who put it together for us. So here's what we got there. That's the Bible is the written word of God. Then we go down to the Bible is absolutely true now. Everybody with me? Now, then, and forever. You have to watch how you do the hand. It's got to be kind of sideways. You don't want to. Okay, that's a whole other thing. Sorry. Matthew 5, 17 and 18 says, do not think, this is Jesus talking, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now, Jesus spoke these. You may not know this passage. It was a little tiny, like obscure New Testament passage called the Sermon on the Mount. It's like a big deal, right? So he's speaking here and he's just saying, hey, guys, I didn't come to say that what was past wasn't good. I didn't come to do it. I came to fulfill that. And it is still good. Nothing's going to go away until I come back. He's saying that the Bible is true now, then, and forever. And so that's that. So to finish up our statement, to get our foundation fully set, is that the last statement, which is, and filled with everything God wants us to know. Everything God wants us to know. There we go. So we're going to go back to that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God, or servant of God, according to my translation here, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Like, I don't think I could find a better suited verse to show us really clearly that it's filled with everything he wants us to know, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that all the work that he has for us, we can learn it right there, be trained in it. It gives us what we need to live a life that's honoring to God and to be influential in the lives of those we interact with. Hebrews 4:12 is a really great one. For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So God's word is not static. It isn't stale. It's divine in nature. It was God breathed. It's what gives it its unbelievable power to minister to people in Jesus' time, to you and me right here, right now, to everyone who comes until he comes back. It is filled with everything he wants us to know. So with that foundation, we're going to move into what do we do? How do we get this book into our minds and into our hearts in a way that's going to be honoring to God? And I'm going to give you four ways to do that. And before you show them, they're simple. I'm not going to reveal anything to you tonight that you haven't thought about. But I hope that you think about them from a different perspective tonight, from a 1 Timothy 4:7 perspective. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Those four things, really quick, are, I want you to hear about it. Hear it, which is not what you think it is. I'll talk about it in a second. Reading it, meditating on it, and studying it. So our first one, the first thing we're talking about is hearing the word of God. It's kind of the easiest one to forget when you look at what I mean by the definition of the hearing the word of God. I do not mean that you get in your car in the morning and you open your phone to the Bible app, you plug it in, and then you hit like play on Matthew and you just listen to the word on your way in. That is awesome. And if you want to redeem your travel time that way, way better than trying to put on the new Justin Bieber album. None of that's going to be helpful for you. But listening to the word of God would be good. But that's not what I mean. This is what I mean. I wrote it down to be very specific. What I mean is simply devoting yourself to the practice of consistently attending a Bible-centered church where God's word is faithfully preached. Think about that. A place where God's word is going to be faithfully preached, that you sit under that teaching and you hear the word of God from someone who's faithfully handling the word of God. Let's look at this. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Luke 11:27-28. Jesus said, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast with which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. These are huge tenets, a huge tenet of our faith, that faith, the largest Christian thing that we want in our lives, right, comes from hearing the word of God. That's big and important. And that when we hear the word of God and we keep it, we abide in it and do it, we're blessed. And by blessed, I do not mean that we are going to get a big bucket of cash put on our side. Like, it's not that. The blessing comes as we listen and hear the word of God and abide in it. The blessing is that we become more like Christ. We are sanctified. So that is the blessing that comes from reading the Word of God. Now, my story includes a time where I did not, I didn't have a Bible. I didn't read the Bible. In fact, I didn't become a believer until I was 33 years old. So kind of old, if you will, for someone who wants to learn about the Word of God. And when I finally started to realize, man, maybe I should go to church or something, I started to think about the people that I worked with who were the least uncool Christians that I knew, and they all went to this church called Watermark Church that was at a high school in Lake Highlands. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll try that place. And so I went. And as I went, I thought, okay, well, maybe now I probably should have a Bible. So I went to this place called Barnes & Noble. It's a thing called a bookstore where they have books where you can buy them like right off the shelves. Like you don't have to order them. They're just there. And so I went to the religion section and I'm like looking for a Bible and I'm looking through and I pull out this one book and I open it and it has like dates, September 29th. It's like, oh, look, and it's got a little, I think that's some Bible there. And then there's more reading like I could do to understand what that's saying. I thought, okay, so it was My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers was the book that I pulled out. And for months, that's what was my Bible. I carried that around like, hey, I got my Bible. I'm checking the box. No, I wasn't checking the box. I was reading it because my heart was engaged with it. But that's what I used. But I was also attending a church that was faithfully handling the Word of God. I was hearing the Word of God. And what I started to see was, hey, you know, maybe the way I was living, and in some cases still living, the way I was living was not a good thing. It was maybe sinful. And I started to also hear that, man, my sin, I'm not just a good person. I'm not going to get into heaven because of that, but my sin has separated me from God. And as I kept hearing the gospel being preached and understanding what it meant, I started to be convicted that, man, I've got to do something with this, but I can't. But also there's this loving God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for my sins. And my part in that is to have faith that if I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for my sins, I'll be in heaven forever. Not just avoiding hell, but I'll be in heaven with God and just connected to him forever. And I learned all of that by hearing the Word of God, by not even owning a Bible. So I want to make sure that you know and understand it is an important part of taking in God's word is sitting under good teaching at a church that preaches the Word of God. Here's a little side note. I'm going to get off of that. I'm going to get on a soapbox. If you do not have a Bible church, a place that preaches the Word of God that you go to yet, awesome. Everyone here who has a name tag is a member of Watermark Community Church. You've come to one of those places tonight. And so we would want to invite you, grab any one of us and say, hey, I think I'd like to go to church on Sunday. I'll make sure that you get someone sits with you. I'll get you, make sure you get a cup of coffee with those blue creamers. It's amazing. And you'll get to hear the Word of God. So that's number one. It's okay, coffee. It's not bad. Okay, I'm almost done with hearing the Word of God. Some of you are sitting there going, yeah, I go to a Bible-believing church, and I'm fine there. So that can we move on to the next one? And here's what I would say. Stop and make sure that you're listening and taking in what is being preached to you. Here's what's happened for me. I've been on staff here for 13 years. I've been coming here for a very long time, and a month ago, I'm sitting in church, and a man named Nathan Wagnon, who is on staff here in our equipping department, was teaching on Colossians 1:29. It says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." That was the scripture he was saying. One more time. "For this I toil, struggling with all his," God's energy, "that he," God, "powerfully works in me." And he had this pithy little statement that has wrecked me for a month. He said, "The Christian life, the life that I want to lead, the Christian life is what you do." Oh, here it is. It's coming. What do I do to live the Christian life? It's what you do when you realize you can't do anything, that nothing good comes from us, but God, we strive, we struggle with his energy and his power that powerfully works in us by him. And it's changed everything for me, well, a lot of things for me. It's changed how I interact with sixth grade girls that I coach in soccer. It's changed how I interact with my wife. It has changed, how about this? It's changed how I prepared to do this with you right now. This could be really anxiety driving for me to be in this room talking to you like this. And then I realized, it's by God's power anyway. Why wouldn't I just go, God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to prepare. This is by your power. And that comes because I sat in church and I listened to what Nathan had to say. I took in this idea of Colossians 1:29 that I'm powerless and he has all the power. And here we are enjoying a really great talk about hearing the word of God. So that's that. That's hearing the word of God. Preaching the word of God is a big deal, has a ton of value. Come to church here if you don't have a place to go. Eventually, I realized that I needed to be doing more than just hearing the word of God, that I needed to actually be reading the word of God. And reading it, opening it up, is going to be the bulk of this spiritual discipline. The spiritual discipline of Bible intake is going to be mostly reading the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, again, key verse here. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That sounds a lot to me like I should be going to the source of that. I shouldn't only be hearing it, but I should be hearing it. But I should actually be seeking those things out myself by reading his word. Here's the thing that I caught too in preparing for this. I'm not going to put the full verses on, but in Matthew 19 and in Mark 12, we see that Jesus is being questioned by people who are skeptical of who he says he is and the things that he's saying. And they're asking him questions to kind of ferret out of him, like, what are you trying to say and what do you believe? And what do you think his response to them is? Anybody? He says, have you not read? His first thing to somebody going, I'm not sure I believe what you're saying, Jesus says, have you not read the scriptures? There's an implied sort of belief there that Jesus has an expectation of them, that if they're going to know the will and way of God, they are going to have spent significant time reading the word of God. It's really important. Here are two practical ways to increase your Bible intake through this method, reading the word of God. Number one, super simple, find some time. I can't tell you how many things right now are on my calendar. I've got working out, I've got soccer, I've got lunches with friends, lunches with people that I'm meeting, a whole bunch of stuff. And I put those there. Why? Because I don't want to forget, and I don't want to put something else on top of that because I got to protect that time. I want to honor Reagan when I'm trying to take him to lunch. And so I put it on my calendar. And finding a time, this tactic, just means that you would prioritize it enough that it makes your calendar. You might be a morning person. You might be an afternoon person. I don't know who can do it at night. Like, I have these glasses that magnetically click together, and the second they click, there's no way. I fall asleep. I'm done. So the reading glass. I'm old, so I need reading glasses, and they. Okay. Okay. I have them. I'll show you all later. Okay. So number one is find the time. Prioritize your time with the Lord. Don't just say I'm a morning person. I'm going to get up and do it, but put it down somewhere. Protect that time. It's a big deal when it comes to actually taking the word in, is sitting down to do it. Number two, find a reading plan. You can really choose anything you want. Like, you can Google Bible reading plan and have all kinds of plans come at you. One that I was thinking about was if you read 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 3 chapters of the New Testament every single day, in 1 year you'll read the Old Testament once and the New Testament 3 times. So that little 6-chapter reading plan get you through the entire Bible and a good chunk of it more than once every single year. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, hello, Watermark has this thing called Join the Journey, www.join. Do you have to say www anymore, or can you just start going? Okay. World Wide Web. Jointhejourney.com. And it's a really cool thing. If you've never heard of it, let me tell you about it really quickly. It's a piece of scripture. We do all kinds of, we'll maybe read the Bible in a year, 1 year. We might read the Gospels in a year, in 1 year, maybe the minor prophets. But there'll be a piece of scripture that if you sign up will be emailed to you every day. And then one of our staff or a trusted member here writes a devotional that kind of goes along with it. Oh, Oswald Chambers, just in the new language, right? So you get this every day. And so you can have a Bible reading plan to help you with your Bible reading when it comes to the spiritual discipline of intaking God's word. Our third practice is meditating on the Word of God. We're going to meditate on the Word of God. And so reading the Word for me sometimes, and I'm just being fully vulnerable with you here, sometimes when I read the Word of God, my mind just can't focus. Like, it can be a little rote sometimes, sitting in Leviticus maybe, and like squirrel, like anything will take my mind off of what I'm reading, or beaver, like I'm thinking about Bucky's, right? I threw that in. So if I don't have a purpose to what I'm reading, one could be the fact that I'm on a plan and I want to read the plan. But another thing to think about is just meditating on the Word. So I want to show you, I have 1,000, this is a stolen tactic, okay? I didn't make this up, but I did put a Gather logo on it, so I'm going to call it mine. But there's a class that we have here at Watermark called Equip Disciple. An Equip Disciple helps you with the spiritual disciplines. It's 3 10-week, I think, classes, and they'll help you with how to pray or how to read your Bible, how to share your faith. And one of the things that's kind of foundational is having a quiet time where you meditate on God's Word. And so do we have that slide? Is there one of those in there? I'll just show you this thing. In the back, we've got these for you. And yours has 7, mine has 12. I guess I'm more holy. I don't know. But what actually the problem was, Lindsay said, girls write real loopy, and so there's not enough room for them. And I'm like, Lindsay, that's sexist. Don't know. You can't do that. We have 7. So you're welcome, girls. So what I do here is every day I'm looking at the Word. What day is it? It's September 27th. That's when I started this one. What did I read? I'm just going to put if I read 1 Kings 2 through 1 Kings 5, I'll put that right there. And then what was the best thing that I wrote, that I read today? And for me, it was 1 Kings 2:10. And then why? It's just because it reminded me of Israel. When you read 1 Kings 2:10, it's pretty like, really, that's what stood out to you? It says that David died and he was buried in the city of David. David died and he was buried in the city of David. And you know, most of the time when I think the city of David, so I think it's Israel. So it's probably like a desert. And I think of a tumbleweed and a tombstone. Why it turned into the Wild West, I don't know. But that's what went to my mind, right? But I have actually been to Israel. And when you look at Israel, there's the Temple Mount where Solomon's temple was. And then there's the southern steps where people would have been going into the temple. And then there's the city of David down to the south. And it's beautiful. And it's lush. And it's a place where I've actually stood where they've excavated down and they found proof that this is where David's palace was, where he stood out and would have looked across the Kidron Valley, or maybe where he looked down and saw Bathsheba, and the Word comes alive. And for me, when I was reading this that day, as I was meditating on God's Word, I was reminded that archaeology, that history, that technology continues to prove that the Word of God is true. I mean, that whole site wasn't even excavated 10 years ago. And so now we're saying, this is where he was. And I get to go, man, God, you are so good. If I hadn't stopped to meditate on the Word, if I hadn't made a time to read it, and then hadn't stopped to meditate on it, I wouldn't wonder at how awesome it is that God has preserved these things and that we get to see them in 2021. How awesome is that? So meditating on God's Word. And the last but not least way to practice the spiritual discipline of taking in God's Word is studying it. Like stopping and studying the Word of God. And it's really closely tied to the idea of meditating on it. And here's how I choose to study the Word of God. What I'll take is a sheet like this. Generally it's in a journal, not on these sheets. But I'll look at the journal for the past, you know, however long since the last time I've stopped to study God's Word. And I'll say, what stood out to me? Was it something that I just, this revelation of who God is and how he's preserved all of these things in history and that we get to see today? Is it a word that I didn't understand? Like, why? That just didn't seem to fit. Like, what does that mean? Or is it a conflict? Is it something where I'm like, what I read today really for me doesn't line up with what I read a month ago? And man, I'm at a crisis here. Like, what am I going to do with that? I find that on this thing. And then I go and use other resources to better understand the Word. So here's my definition of studying the Word of God. It's the intentional slowing down in order to better understand the context of grammar, history, culture, and geography that influences your accurate interpretation of the Scriptures. So studying the Word of God just means I'm going to stop. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to really dig and see so that I can accurately interpret the scriptures. Because what a travesty it would be to spend all that time and inaccurately interpret the scriptures. So I want to spend time doing that. So I'm going to talk about four different easy tools that you can use during this time of studying the word. Number one is Logos Bible Software. It's logos.com. You can go to the website, download it. And if you went to seminary, you're probably sitting there going, he said Logos, and it's actually Logos. And I'm telling you that if they're going to spell it L-O-G-O-S, I'm going to say Logos, okay? And so you can take your Logos and just go run over there with it. But it's a really great website, a really great piece of software. It's got sections that are free, and it's really useful. The free section is useful. If you want to spend a little more money for commentaries and translations of the Bible, man, it's money well spent. But that's a great place to start your studying. If you don't have that, then maybe you can find one of these, which I knocked over earlier. Just number two is a little concordance. So something like this, like Strong's Compact Bible Concordance, allows you to go, okay, that word, what did it mean? I think I know what it meant, but I'm not really sure. So we look it up and we see where else in the scriptures is that word, so that I might be able to use the context of that piece of scripture to influence what I'm trying to interpret in the scriptures that I'm reading right now. And then lastly is gotquestions.com. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Number three, soniclight.com, soniclight.com. We are blessed to have Dallas Theological Seminary here in our city. And a professor there took every book of the Bible and every verse of the Bible and wrote an extensive commentary on it. And I go to it constantly. And what I love about it isn't that it's just one person's interpretation of what that scripture means. He'll give you, like, here's four interpretations that are commonly used. And I might land on this one, but here's what informs you. And it allows you to kind of go, okay, I'm going to put those things together, give you some freedom to interpret what those possible meanings are. Highly recommend soniclight.com. And then lastly, gotquestions.com. If you have like that conflict where, man, I read this and then I read that, and it seems like things don't match, or let's say you've got an atheist friend who continues to ask you pointed questions about why you believe what you believe, and you don't have an answer, Got Questions is a great place to start to give you a biblical understanding of these hard questions of the faith. So those four things, Logos, Logos, a concordance, Sonic Light, and Got Questions. And that's really it. Guys, those are my four things that I want you to think about, which are hearing the word, reading the word, meditating on the word, and studying the word of God. And I want to finish with what we started with. 1 Timothy 4:7. You still have that, Marlon? 1 Timothy 4:7 up there? Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. That is not what I have written here at all. Sorry about that. Bottom line is that we are looking to do these things not to puff ourselves up, not to be more impressive, not to just check a box because that's what Christians do. That Lord, the Lord is looking for us to have a heart. That heart that I had as I will never pass a Buc-ee's ever again, God is saying, hey, pretend like my word is Buc-ee's to you, right? Like, stop. Come in. Know that what's in here is really good, way better than wasabi peas, I promise. And so that is my encouragement, our encouragement to you, why we wanted to bring this topic to you over this last month, that you would stop and say, hey, prayer is a big deal. Resting really matters. And then how I take in the word of God is really going to bless me in helping me be more like Jesus. I highly recommend that you guys do the same. Let me pray, and we'll get you to small group time. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are awesome. Lord, I just thank you that you orchestrated your word the way that you did, that you made it possible for us to know your heart, that you had an expectation that we would be reading it, that we would know it, that we would use it to live a life that's honoring to you and a blessing to those around us. Would you make that something that everyone here tonight prioritizes? Would you give them calendar times, help them to put calendar times on their schedules so that they might stop with you, read and meditate and study? Lord, we love you, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.